Hello and welcome to the Playground Podcast. I'm Chris Byrne and I'm flying solo this week because I'm in Hong Kong for the 49th annual Toys and Games Fair. My co-host and cohort Richard Gottlieb is holding the toy industry together back in New York, at least as best he can. It's been 3 years since I was here. The Hong Kong Trade Development Council tells me that I was the last journalist here from overseas in 2020, and I'm the first back in 2023. All I can say is that it's always a privilege to be here, and the show is as exciting as ever. This is the Playground Podcast with me, Chris Byrne, and my co-host Richard Gottlieb. We are supported by Global Toy Experts, The Toy Guy, and Beacon Media Group. After 2 years, this is clearly a transitional year for the show, but even at a reduced size, it's as vital and exciting as ever. The square in Tsim Sha Tsui East may look a little bit like a ghost town without the throngs of U.S. companies and buyers that usually take it over at this time of year, but the energy at the convention center is high, and I spoke to many exhibitors and buyers who are very happy to be back in person. Truly, there is nothing like an in-person trade show to get you excited about toys, and to provide an overview of the industry you won't find anywhere else. Coming out of the show, there are several trends, many of which will not come as a surprise to our listeners. Sustainability and green toys is at the top of the list, and what in 2020 might have been indicated at the show with a handwritten sign taped to a stand is now a formal program with companies pursuing eco-friendly practices formally acknowledged by the show organizers. There's a little green leaf on the stands that says green toys. The boom in the so-called kidult sector, first seen here in Hong Kong a decade ago, is thriving. And interestingly, and at least to me, is how many fewer drones and electronics are being shown in favor of more traditional toys, games, arts and crafts, and activities. On one level, the market had become incredibly crowded with those types of toys, and many of those companies have gotten out of the business. Overall, the level of product design is more and more sophisticated, with companies from the Chinese mainland showing toys that would fit in any market. In particular, the design, color palettes, and packaging clearly make these products ready for the world stage. Exhibitors also told me that many visitors representing both retailers and toy companies from around the world were looking for OEM suppliers at a greater rate than in the years past, especially in the case of the electronics I mentioned a moment ago. They certainly had plenty to choose from. The theme of the show this year was Play to Bond, Family and Beyond, and it showed in an emphasis on classic toys as well. Exhibitors I talked to were very aware of how the pandemic had changed their businesses, but as always with the toy industry, they were able to pivot quickly and effectively. Like any trade show, however, on the brink of its 50th year, the Hong Kong Toys and Games Fair is actively looking at ways to refine and redefine the trade show, what it is, how it best serves all aspects of the industry, and, most importantly, how to add value to exhibitors and buyers. In Hong Kong, that's meant the introduction of an exceptional hybrid model called Exhibit Plus that is likely to be a leader in this area. Over the past week, I've had the chance to talk to exhibitors about how they've used it to maximize their virtual and at-show experiences. It's also a model for how to facilitate year-round business matching and interaction. It's worth checking out. And even as we look at the changing role of trade shows and toy fairs in particular, they are a big business. Not just for the toy companies, but for the companies that support the shows too. Design and display services, staffing, trucking, and even maintenance. I was impressed to learn about how the Hong Kong government is introducing programs to support these shows and make it easier for people to participate, which in turn supports all those ancillary industries, and the toy business too. What follows is my conversation with Sophia Chong, Deputy Executive Director of the Hong Kong Trade Development Council, about the show, how it's gone this year, and what's ahead. I can tell you from personal experience, however, it is great to be back. Tell me more about what it means to be back up and running.
Yeah, I'm very happy and excited to see the return of a physical toys and games fair, the baby products fair, and the stationery and school supplies fair in Hong Kong. Because with the lifting of the international travel restrictions in Hong Kong in recent months, and also with the resumption of the quarantine-free travel between the Hong Kong and the mainland, starting just 8th of January, just a few days ago, right, on Sunday. So we believe more mainland Chinese companies together with more overseas companies will be coming back to Hong Kong to do business. In fact, for us, this January, the three fairs attracted more than 1,000 exhibitors from 17 countries and regions. And for the mainland China pavilion alone, they featured more than 250 companies just for the toys and games fair. So we are very excited. And also the Korean pavilion is back too for the baby products fair. And we are very happy to see the vivacity and also the business sentiments going on very well for this physical show. So I must add that we are still running on a hybrid platform because we also think there is time to allow people to come back gradually. So on one hand, we are doing a lot of services for the physical shows, but on the other hand, we are also maintaining a hybrid online platform so that for those buyers who are still not able to come yet, so they can still meet our exhibitors over the online platform.
And I want to get into that in a minute because it's really, I've been talking to a lot of people about it while I've been going around the fair, the Exhibit Plus
situation.
So I want to get into that. But you also are a leader in other areas. And right now, everywhere you go, right, you hear the word kidult. Well, I believe that the first time I ever heard it was here at the Hong Kong show. And I've been trying to remember which year. I've been going back through all my old photographs of the show to see what year it was. What are you seeing as new and the expanding areas right now? So when we sit down 5 years from now again and say, I heard it first at the Hong Kong show, what are you going to be seeing now?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for bringing up the word of kidult. Because if I may help you out, that it is the highlight since the 2013.
Okay.
So it is quite a number of years ago that we believe that the kidult world will become a highlight of the Toys and Games Fair. And we have been seeing a thriving collectibles market throughout these years. Currently, the collectibles market has grown to become a significant portion of the toy industry. And these toy collectors and enthusiasts have high spending power and show great interest in Vinyl toys, model cars, action figures, and the toy statues. You can say it's a little bit niche, but at the same time, it's a thriving sector. And this year, we have also exhibitors showcasing the classic comic book character models and the Hong Kong Softie car building blocks. And for toys items, such as the car building blocks, that has a strong local characteristic, and they're going to gain popularity in the kidult markets. And looking forward, we think that the green and sustainable toys are becoming more and more important and conscious these days, because as you know, that more and more buyers are looking for certificates and certifications for green, environmentally friendly made toys. And we have done some research, and which I would like to share with you as well. So according to the report by Research and Markets, the global sustainable toys market size was valued at almost 19,000 million US dollars in the 2020. Wow. And it's estimated to reach almost 60,000 million US dollars by 2030, registering a compound annual growth rate of 12.5% from 2021 to 2030. So you can see the humongous growth during these forecast years. For the Hong Kong Toys and Games Fair this year, we have over 100 exhibitors showcasing toys that carry eco-friendly or nature materials or made via sustainable solutions. So we actually gave them a special label called the Green Toys. They were assigned to these exhibitors, which will help our buyers identify and source for eco-friendly toys at the fair.
I've seen a bunch of them, and they're really good. And in fact, there's one of the exhibitors here, Hape, has been building stuff with bamboo. And I was joking with them yesterday because I said, well, wait a minute, you've built a panda house out of bamboo. Don't pandas eat bamboo? Do the pandas eat the house? And they said, don't go there.
But this is really a very, very interesting correlation that, Chris, you have identified. And actually, I'm going to quote you exactly, Hape, because they are showcasing a toy house that is made of wood and eco-friendly renewable materials, including what you said, the green PE, the bamboo, made from sugarcane plants. And the FSC certified wood and bamboo is one of the fastest growing plants on earth.
Right.
So I think this is really a trend to note. Yeah.
And it's renewable. They're also doing work with cork, and I've seen other stuff with cork, and that a couple of years ago, well, back in 2020, I saw some cork, but now, and it was from a small company, but now you have somebody like Hape who's really gotten behind it, and they're looking at it as a renewable resource and something that they can build with. So it's very exciting, and then to see It's kind of a little green leaf on top of the booths, the stands.
Oh, you have noted.
It says green toy, because I do think that this is what consumers are looking for, especially when we talk about the Gen Z consumer. It's one of the things that's a very high on their priorities, especially as they're trying to bring less plastic, less traditional plastic into the home.
Indeed. And also toys with educational values, they have been particularly well received during the pandemic because the children is out of school and stuck at home. So I think this also gives some room for the growth of these educational toys. These elements have been gaining greater attention worldwide. And we saw a lot of these products in the Toys and Games Fair, as well as the Baby Products Fair. And they include something like the puzzles, the construction sets, scientific toys, arts and crafts. And there is one particular long-standing exhibitor from Hong Kong as well. And they are doing a lot of hybrid, I would say, the integrated model,
right,
whereby you have the very fundamental and natural materials like wood or the fundamental into the construction sets, like the microscope or the lions. Nowadays, they have the animals in the forest as well, doing it very lively. But at the same time, they apply their augmented reality of the app onto it so that it can be integrated with some kind of technology. So I think this is very interesting.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is from Eastco Light, which is a company that I love. I think they do such creative stuff. And that AR is actually one of the better ones I've seen, because it's very difficult for kids to have that kind of different play experience between, well, here I've molded this animal out of plaster, really traditional plaster, and then I've added a different play experience. But they're not mixed. They are discrete play experiences that are really, really well expressed.
Yeah, Chris, I think you really know us inside out. Whenever I talk of this company, you already knew the name. So I'm really impressed. Yeah, thank you so much for knowing us so well.
Now, one of the things that you have done this year is Exhibit Plus, and this is the hybrid show, because, I mean, quite frankly, it looks like a little bit of participation is down this year, but this is a transitional year. People are getting used to traveling again, and I can't tell you how exciting it is to be back and see the toys dimensionally. But Exhibit Plus is that hybrid, and I've talked to several manufacturers who said that it was a way for them to reach buyers that they hadn't been able to reach. And some of them made online appointments, but guess what? Some of them also walked into their stands here. And there's also an area upstairs, which is amazing, where you can use a QR code and instantly connect to the product line and see. So talk a little bit about how you developed this, because it really is... it's better than a lot of the ones I've seen out there. I got to tell you that. So
sorry, friends. Very good feedback from you. I really need that kind of feedback, because for the TDC, since the pandemic as early as 2020, we have been noting that there must be some disruption coming up for the trade fair world. So that's why at that time, we're already starting to think about how effectively we can develop an online system that can really facilitate trade without geographical boundaries and also without coming physically to Hong Kong because of the pandemic. So that's why at that time we put together our heads, and we found that the one key element that trade fair needs are actually connectivity. Mm-hmm. And also, how do you get the buyers and the exhibitors really connected? If not physically, then how to online? And the most important element making this possible is the business matching. Because once they get matched with the right exhibitor or the right buyer, I think we create value for them. So that's why we injected the AI-enabled business matching platform, which is fairly new amongst all the other currently platforms in the world of the trade fairs, I mean, because seldom do they think about the business matching over an AI-enabled platform
together
with our data-rich data bank for TDC, because as you rightly said, the Toys and Games Fair is already entering, this year is the 49th edition. So we have really accumulated a lot of very good and rich data. So with a data-rich platform, we can easily do the data. So that's why we have this Exhibition Plus, which is an extended platform right before the show. We opened it up 1 month before to let the exhibitors really upload all the information so that the buyer can already go there up and browse all these materials. So there are two levels of buyers. One is those who can come ultimately physically. So they will make use of this browsing to do the pre-fair appointment making. So the second group of buyers, who unfortunately may not be able to travel to Hong Kong, they will be doing this interview over the internet 7 days after the fair. Right. So we make it an expanded platform. So in this way, we can maximize the business opportunities to bring the buyers and suppliers together. And we think that because of the disruption made by the pandemic, a lot of buying behavior, I hope Chris will also identify this as well, is that the buyers, some of them are really getting used to buying online.
Yeah.
And sourcing
absolutely
online. And I saw I just talked to a Brazilian buyer yesterday who came physically to Hong Kong, and he told me that during pandemic, he actually started a 3 containers order from a mainland supplier over the internet without actually seeing the product. And then afterwards, because of good sales, they even go up to 60 containers.
Wow.
So I think this is really a physical example of why online is so important. So we think that from a TDC angle, even after the pandemic, we think this exhibition plus model still counts a lot, because we couldn't let go of any single buyer who can physically come or who cannot physically come.
What's amazing to me is one of the big questions that was actually before the pandemic and is continuing is, what is the value of a trade show? And you know, for me, the value of a trade show is being able to see sort of the global sense of the industry. For example, you know, I've been coming here since 1995.
Wow.
And
Last century.
Yeah, exactly. Before the handover. In fact, funny story is the year of the handover, this building we're sitting in was not yet completed. And they took us in a bus with hard hats up in to see where the handover was going to happen.
Also, you see, actually, the construction.
So they took us to see the construction,
yeah,
which was just a privilege and amazing. But one of the questions has been, what is the value of a trade show, and how do trade shows continue? And this is the thing that I see you doing really well. But it's also your business matching is not just limited to this time. You go year round with all of that as well.
Yeah, that's true. So that's why the Exhibition Plus actually contains 4 key elements. Just now I mentioned about a physical trade fair, which is the first and foremost that we have to really work on it all the time. And secondly is the AI-enabled business matching platform called a Click to Match. It's a self-serviced thing. It's easy to use, and it can have a smooth video conferencing experience and even instant chat messaging function. And the third and the fourth thing is particularly what you mentioned just now, is how to go year-round serving them, and also how to make intelligence easily available for our exhibitors and buyers. So that's why the third one is an intelligence hub. Actually, it gathers all these seminars, the networking, and all these intelligence under this intelligence hub, so that we can have online to offline seminars all in one place, so that they can share the information very readily. And the fourth element is the TDC.com sourcing platform. This is a 24/7 sourcing platform where the buyers can really browse a lot of different sectors, exhibits, as well as the products in one go. So in this way, we can enable our traders to enjoy the benefits of the extended fair periods, expanded platforms, and enhanced opportunities. So as for the rest of the year, I think besides the business matching program, we are also actively providing a lot of initiatives for our buyers, because we think that through our 50 overseas offices, they can easily reach out to any of them to sign up to our HKTDC sourcing platform. And while they are here at the fairground, we will support them by giving them a sourcing genius and concierge services, so that our on-site ambassadors can also help them to identify the suitable exhibitors based on their sourcing needs. And as you go around, you see a lot of guided tours also at a fairground.
You do?
Yeah, we provide additional exposure for the exhibitors. And also, last but not least, we also provide forums for the exhibitors and networking events.
So one of the things that I was really excited to hear about while I was here at the fair was how the Hong Kong government is getting behind supporting not just the Toys and Games Fair, but the entire trade show industry. And that there's You know, I think that that's so critical. There's so much that rides on this industry, so many jobs and so much business. Can you talk a little bit about some of the schemes, as they call them, that are coming up that really has the government supporting an industry, which I think is amazing?
Yeah, that's true. Chris, I think the Hong Kong government is really very supportive because they know the disruption has done a lot of damage to the trade fair industry. But at the same time, they see the reviving trend coming back, and they install several subsidy schemes, not only for Hong Kong. Actually, there is one of them who can also benefit the overseas exhibitors who are coming in Hong Kong. So I will talk about two major schemes. One is called the Convention and Exhibition Support Scheme. So the C&E scheme actually provided, I would say in Hong Kong dollars, 10,000 Hong Kong dollars per company, per 9 square meters standard booth, where people, if they sign up for the HKTDC fairs, they will be entitled for this kind of subsidy. So even if they're coming from overseas, not based in Hong Kong.
Right.
So this is a kind of gesture that Hong Kong government would like to show to the world that they Hong Kong is back, and they welcome our overseas friends back in the MICE industry. And another key subsidy is the Export Marketing Fund. So this is for those Hong Kong-based companies who are registered in Hong Kong. So even overseas companies from Netherlands, from England, from US and UK, if they have a company registered in Hong Kong, they are also eligible. It's quite interesting because it's a company-based, so lifelong fund.
Uh-huh.
So the maximum you can get is around 100,000, a little bit more than 100,000 US dollars. So this one is a lifelong. So for each and every exhibition, the highest you can get is around a little bit more than 10,000 US dollars. So per fair, so the highest. So it's a matching fund, meaning that the company pays for half of the fees while the government will subsidize for the rest of the half. So I think this is also showing a commitment from the Hong Kong government for the companies who are engaging themselves in the export marketing based from Hong Kong.
I think it's really important because one of the big questions that every US company I talk to has is, where are we going to go to show? How are we going to afford these different shows? Okay, so my last question for you. You know, this is a transitional year. I have been here when you couldn't walk in the halls. There's a few, the participation is down a little bit, but we know that the online participation is happening as well. So what would you say are the key lessons you've learned that are going to make the Toys and Games Fair 50th anniversary next year? What are you looking forward to as you get ready for the 50th Toys and Games Fair?
Yeah, good question, because there's always something that we are looking forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
So for this transitional year, we are very grateful that at least we can have a physical meeting for more than 1,000 exhibitors, and we're anticipating more than 10,000 of buyers coming in. We just announced the opening of the borders with the mainland,
right,
and also with the world. So I think you have to give time for people to gradually coming back. And not to mention, there are a lot of factors involved here, because it's not just the organizer or the exhibitors, because there are usually the airlines as well, because we need to have more flights. We need to have the flights needs to have their crew back,
right?
Because a lot of the crews are not yet back in,
I know,
at work. And also the hotels, and also the pricing of the air tickets. So a lot of factors will also affect the people coming in. But at the same time, we're confident with the subsiding of the pandemic, and also with the coming back of the economic activities, more people will be coming in. So this year, we're looking at the ratio. If we have 1,000 exhibitors and more than 10,000 buyers coming in, around the ratio is 40%, I think, is from overseas, out of Hong Kong. So it's quite international mix as well. So for one exhibitor, more than 10 to 15 buyer ratio, this is actually, the ratio is compatible with the pre-pandemic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that you will see the comparison that makes you more at ease, because it means that people are really seeing quality buyers coming back at their booth. So, but of course, for next year, 50th anniversary,
yeah,
what we would foresee and anticipate would be a full-fledged fairs coming back, meaning that thousands of exhibitors, and out of which a lot of from overseas and also from the mainland. And at the same time, there is one interesting element that we are going to do is to have more entertainment, because with more activities coming back, so we're thinking about to do some fun entertainment for our buyers and exhibitors for the 50th anniversary, and on top of that, for the conference, because as you know, every year the Hong Kong Toys and Games Fair has a Hong Kong Toys Industry conference.
Right.
Together with the Toys Council and the Hong Kong Toys Manufacturers Association, we have already decided that 50th anniversary marked another milestone. So that's why we're going to enhance this conference into an Asian version, the regional conference, and then to invite even more quality and top-notch speakers, not only from Asia, but also from the world.
Right.
Because it is happening in the part of Asia, but actually we're facing the world. So next year, I think when you come back, I hope you'll find we have a much richer and more elevated and more impactful conference for the toys industry.
You know, one of the things a lot of the U.S. companies who aren't here this year said, will you go and tell us how it is? Well, I can absolutely tell them as a result of this that they really should be here. It's so exciting to see everything and to see all of these toys and all of these people and to feel the energy coming back after 3 years. So,
yeah.
Sophia Chong, Deputy Executive Director, Hong Kong Trade Development Council, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you very much, Chris, and really nice to have you here in Hong Kong.
Thank you.
I have loved being back here in Hong Kong, and I want to thank my hosts, the Hong Kong Trade Development Council. This is the Playground Podcast with me, Chris Byrne, my co-host and cohort, Richard Gottlieb, and we are supported by Global Toy Experts, The Toy Guy, and Beacon Media Group. I am, somewhat reluctantly, getting on a plane and heading back to New York, but I'm feeling as though the toy world is at least somewhat on the way back to what we used to call normal. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.